sometimes there's a fight between your soul and your flesh. But my soul says yes.
My soul, yes, my soul, yes. My soul says
yes. My soul says yes. I wonder how much of us really mean that. Can we move past the song? Can we move past the syncopation in the beat? Can we move past the melody, the hook and the tag, and still say yes? When faced with decisions, when faced with the options whether to honor God or to please ourselves, does that yes ring true, or is it hollow? Is it an empty?
My soul says yes.
Something to consider. Something to think about and ponder. We're living in some challenging times. We're living when our faith will be tested. Our godly integrity will be tested. We're living in days and times when what is really in us will be proved, tried, and brought to the surface. We need to know and realize that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We need to know and realize that we in fact can do all things through Christ that gives us the strength. These are not just mere letters on a page. It's the very word of God. It's the living word of a living God. And his word is spirit, and they are life. Amen? So we need to take that to heart. I want to talk this morning from a subject, broken for you. Broken for you. Often, in our human interaction, in our day-to-day living, we may acquire certain things because we need certain things, and we may acquire certain things just because we want certain things. Nothing wrong with that. And in the process of utilizing those things that we acquire, depending on what it costs us, depending on the sacrifice or the value that we place on those things that we either purchase or have someone bestow us, give us, when these things break, there's an amount of pain that comes along with the breaking of these things. It goes to our heart, especially if you're a child and you get a toy and your favorite toy is broken. There will be heartbreak. There will be tears. And there will be anger. And especially if you didn't break it. If someone else broke it. And as we progress in our life and we move from a child into a working age, whatever the age you start working, and you get a little salary or whatever, and you buy certain things, and if they get broken, you get upset. And I would venture to say that there, in some area of our homes, there's a box or a bag. It may be a cabinet or a drawer where things are broken. They don't work like they used to work anymore, but we haven't completely threw them away yet, because there's some hope. I can take it down and get it fixed, because I don't spend too much money on that just to just throw it away. And if we're living in a household where there are more than just us, there may even come up conversations. Why you still got this? Why don't you go on and get rid of that? No. I'm gonna fix that. I know I haven't fixed it yet, but I'm gonna get around to it. No. Just leave that. Okay. When you clean out the garage or you have a garage sale or whatever. No. Bring this back. It's not working. But there's an attachment to it. All right. There's an attachment to it. We oftentimes place value on broken things. Where did we get that from? Where did a value being placed on broken things, where did we intrinsically get that from? That's a good question. Somebody said parents? Well, I would say possibly, but the parents got it from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Let me help you so you can help me this morning. I believe that concept and that principle comes from God, because we have to understand that in the beginning of the human family, the relationship between God and man was broken in the garden. It was broken in the garden when Adam sinned. And we read the Genesis account. When he and his wife sinned, they hid themselves. So the communication appeared to be broken. The life that God intended for Adam and his wife was broken, because the command was, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So God, being truth, his word is true. So there in the garden, after the couple hid themselves, God, they heard the voice of God in the cool of the day, and God asked the question, "Where are you?" And we know the account where they said, Adam said, "I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked." So that relationship between God and man was broken. It was broken. But God had a plan before Adam. He had a plan that he would place value on broken humans. And his plan was put into place from the foundation of the world. And I'm thankful to God that he puts value on broken things. And the value that God puts on broken things will enable those broken things to become a blessing if they're broken in the right way. Let's get some scripture. All right. Let's go to Mark for a moment. Yeah, we're going to get to 1 Corinthians in a little bit, but I want to work our way there. Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter number 14. As we're turning to Mark chapter number 14, and we'll get around verse number 3. There are times in our lives where we get beside ourselves, if truth be told, in our humanness. We think that we're more than what we are. If it was not so, the Bible wouldn't have to have in there for us not to do that. So God knows that sometimes we get off and we think of ourselves more than what we are. The Bible also lets us know that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And humble is, if you will, one of the synonyms I can use for brokenness. So, yes, God may want to use us, whether corporately or individually, to bless others, but God is looking for brokenness in us. And I believe one of the reasons he's looking for brokenness in us is when we acknowledge our brokenness and we come to God in humility and we still see that the power of God can operate in the life or on the lives of individuals who are broken. So when God uses us, we will not hold that glory to ourselves because we know what we are. We're broken vessels, or we should be broken vessels. And sometimes, I believe, this is just the way I believe, and I think I got some scripture to help me, but sometimes it is better for us to be broken in certain areas so that we might be a blessing to those that we come in contact with. Because God, in fact, knows every individual or group of individuals that we will come in contact with. And maybe he's not moving us in the area that he really wants us to be in because there's still some brokenness that has to take place in our lives. Just maybe. Mark chapter 14, verse number 3. This is an account of the woman who came in and had a jar of precious ointment. Precious ointment. And they were, verse 3, I have the Amplified version of the Bible. It says, and while he was in Bethany, talking about Jesus, a guest in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of ointment, perfume of pure nard, very costly and precious. And she broke the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Now this perfume, other accounts of the scriptures let us know that this, the amount of money that this perfume cost was equal to a year's salary. So this was very, very precious. And the woman broke the jar. And in one account, it said that the aroma filled the whole house. As I was looking at this, I was saying, Lord, well, is there an area in my life or in me that needs to be broken so that what fragrance you're trying to get out of me might permeate my surroundings so anyone who comes in my surroundings could benefit from this precious and very pricey gift that you've given me. Not only has he given me, but he's given each and every one of us who are born again. Now, Jesus said in this context, in one of the other gospels, that this woman has done a great thing because she did this for my burial. And he said that wherever the gospel is preached, that this will be declared of her, this woman. All right? So we see that there's some value in brokenness. We see that although it cost this woman a lot, when she saw something that was more valuable than what she had in the jar, she broke the jar. And when we see someone who is more valuable than our human efforts and our human desires, will break whatever we need to break and pour that on Jesus. Just a thought. John chapter 12 and verse number 24, it says, I assure you, Jesus is talking, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. Jesus here he's saying that that little grain by itself, it won't do any good if it stays intact. But when you break it, when it gets into that soil and it starts decomposing, it's going to bring forth a harvest. Yes, he was talking about his death. Yes, he was talking about how he was going to give his life a ransom for many. Isaiah chapter number 53 talks about the suffering of Jesus. Isaiah prophesied in verse number 4, he said, surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded, verse 5 says, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed. Broken for you. Now, we understand that in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, none of his bones was broken. We understand that. But his body was broken. Because you can't get blood out of a body unless you break the skin. So his body was broken, but his bones were not broken. And we understand that Jesus Christ, he was wounded, as the scripture said, for our transgression. So the beatings that Jesus took, his body being massacred, was for us. With his stripes, the Bible says, we are healed. We are made whole. So we have to understand that we need to appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ was broken for us, and he values broken things. Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has made to light or to rest upon him the guilt and iniquity of us all. So all of our guilt, all of our sin, all of our evil, all of our wrongdoing, all of that, I'm talking about not just us in the room, but all for all humankind, was rested and put on Jesus Christ. And he had to carry that with him to the cross of Calvary. And he did that for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. All right? We need to understand that. So why does God put a value on broken things? Huh? Because God can get glory out of broken things. God can get glory out of vessels that were marred, that are marred. I know if we had an opportunity to just pass the mic and testify, we can all testify to some level of brokenness in our lives. Some people have broken hearts. Some people are broken physically. Some people are broken emotionally. Some people are broken mentally. Some people are broken economically. But whatever the case is, there, all of us have experienced a measure of brokenness in our lives. But we should not let the mere fact that we have been associated or experienced brokenness in our lives, we should not let that stop us from giving God our all. We should not let the fact that we may not have the things that we think we ought to have, or things may not work out like we think they should work out, we should not let that diminish our praise to our great God. Yeah, I may be broken, but I'm still here. Yes, I may be broken, but yet and still, I'm still a recipient of the grace and the mercy of God. Yes, I may be broken, and sometimes I get an attitude with God. I'll say that. Sometimes we get an attitude with God, but God still extends his grace. He gives me a little while to get my attitude together. He gives me a little while to check myself. He gives me some, even a little while to cry and to boo-hoo and to get it all out, but still he comes and he tells me, he reminds us all that I'll never leave you. He reminds us all that I will never forsake you. He reminds us, yes, that you may be broken, but don't you forget that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So with my brokenness, I'm going to still offer up a praise to God. Listen, anybody can praise God when everything is going the way you think it ought to work. It's easy. It's easier to get a praise or to give a praise when things are going well, when you got everything going right. You got all the money you think you need for right now, and your kids and your family is doing okay right now. You know, then it's real easy for you to, yes, I praise the Lord, but I wonder if you have a Job praise. I wonder if things can be taken away from you. And some of your closest friends say, child, if I was you, I'd just give up. But I wonder if you would say like Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Listen, God gets some real glory. God gets some genuine glory when broken things, when we experience a season of brokenness in our life and yet still offer up a praise. Listen, it's okay to praise with tears in your eyes. God understands tears. He bottles them up, but don't let your tears stop your praise. It's okay. Yes, it is. It's okay to praise God. You got a little ailment. You might have a limp or whatever, but don't let your ailment, don't let your limp cancel out your praise. Listen, the fact that we got scars, whether they're physical scars or emotional scars or spiritual scars, it just means that we're alive. It just means that we're going through. But I'm going to praise God, tears and all. I encourage you to praise God through your tears. I encourage you to praise God through your affliction, because God God is still God. He's still on the throne. He's coming back for us. And guess what? He's coming back for some broken folks. I hear the Bible record that Paul had an affliction in his body. The great apostle Paul had an affliction in his body, writing letters to the church, starting churches, founding churches, but yet and still he was afflicted and he sought God. I believe that Brother Paul could get a prayer through almost just like Jesus. But here this great apostle who wrote letters to different churches, he said, I sought the Lord three times, and guess what God told me? He said, my grace is sufficient. So listen, even in our brokenness, you need to understand that God's grace is sufficient. And guess what? In our weakness, that's when God's strength is made perfect. So we got a glory in our weakness. We got a glory in our perfections, in our imperfections. Why? Because Jesus Christ was broken for us. He was broken to give us victory. He was broken to give us power. He was broken to give us confidence. He was broken so that we might be the redeemed of the Lord. Listen, when this time took place of Jesus and what he told Paul personally in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, I deliver unto you what I received myself. It was given unto me personally. That's what Paul said. He said that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was treacherously delivered up, and while his betrayal was in progress. Listen, I can see every human being represented in the betrayer himself, in Judas. Look at the love of God. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do, but yet and still, he still broke that bread. He still had Judas right there at the communion time before he made his exit. What is that saying to me? The Bible said, all we like sheep have gone astray. The Bible also says that God is not willing that any should perish. The Bible goes on to say that while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us, so all of us can see ourselves in that betrayer, Judas, because we were the enemies of God. We were not thinking about God. And listen, what you do for your enemy, you want your enemy destroyed. But God, in his grace, God, in his mercy, allowed Jesus to be broken for every last one of us. And it was the time of the Passover. And so what God was trying to let his people understand that when they look at the Passover, it was the time that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and the Passover looked back. The Passover was a history lesson to how God delivered the children of Israel out of the bondage of the Egyptians, and that is Egypt is a type of the world. So the Passover made them look back to how God delivered them, how God showed his strong hand on behalf of his people Israel. So when you look at the Passover, you see the deliverance of God in Old Testament time. But when you look at Calvary, you see the deliverance of God under the new covenant. God wants us to look at Calvary and see, just like he delivered Israel out of Egypt, he delivered through the offered, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He delivered every last human being under the new covenant, under the new testament. He delivered all of us from sin. He made it possible that we might be redeemed. He made it possible that we can live forever with him. He made it possible, but it would not be possible if he wasn't broken. It would not be possible. I hear the Bible said that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And Jesus' blood had to be shed. It was a broken body when they pierced him in his side. The Bible said blood and water came out. So his body was broken. So when he points here, as he told Paul, he said, and when he had given thanks, verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 11 is where I am. When he had given thanks, look at God in the person of Jesus Christ, thanking God. Glory. I can't understand this. This blows my mind. Here he's thanking God for the bread, and he understands that the bread is his body. So here Jesus thanking God that I'm about to die. Glory. Hallelujah. Because I ain't dying for myself, but I'm dying for all mankind. Now this is the very same Jesus who, when he was in Golgotha, when he was in Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. I believe he prayed three times, but here we see he recorded that he thanked God. Glory, hallelujah. I see the grace of God. I see the mercy of God. And Jesus saying, thank you that you made me the lamb of God, because I come to take away the sins of the world. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to put into practice and on purpose your very plan of salvation. No, the human side of Jesus did not want to die. No, he did not want to die, because the Bible bears it out when he prayed in Gethsemane. But the spiritual side, glory to God, was thanking God for his impending death. I can't understand that, to thank God for your impending death, because he understood that through his death, through his one sacrifice, many, glory, hallelujah, would come into the kingdom of God. That's why he can thank God in advance and thank him for the breaking of the bread. And the Bible said that his flesh is food indeed, and his blood is drink indeed, true food, genuine food. And he said, Jesus did in his word, that if we don't eat his body and if we don't drink his blood, we have no life. Glory, hallelujah. But I'm so glad that he had given thanks and he broke the bread. Glory, hallelujah. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. Glory, hallelujah. When we take the bread that represents the body of Jesus Christ and the wine that represents his precious blood, we are, by faith, according to his word, we're receiving spiritual food. Glory, hallelujah. You can't get this kind of food at Ralph's. Glory, hallelujah. You can't find it on no shelf at Bond's. Food for Less ain't got this. Kroger's, Gelson's, or anywhere you want to go, you can't get this spiritual food. But if you look, glory to God, in the 66 books, you got a full diet of spiritual food. And this is what we need. We need the spiritual food that God has prepared for us. So he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. I thank God that his body was broken for me, because I don't know about you, but I was a sinner.
I was a sure enough sinner. Yes, and I had no way of escape. But thanks be unto God that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, allowed. He said, no man take my life. Glory to God. I got the power to lay it down, and I got the power to pick it up again. He allowed himself to be broken so that we might ingest him, so that we might be built up in him, so that we might gain strength from him. Glory. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Glory. I'm so glad that we're under a new covenant. Got to park there for a little while. I believe it was our dear brother, Brother Harold Howard, who God gave the song, you don't have to slay the lamb anymore. You don't have to put no more blood on the door. Someone has taken the place of the lamb. Jesus, the greater I am. So Jesus said, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant ratified and established in my blood. So glad we ain't got to go back and get no bulls. Glory, hallelujah. We ain't go back and get no turtle doves. We ain't got to get no sheep, no rams, because we civilized now, y'all. We ain't got no farms. But God, in his grace and in his mercy, he provided himself a lamb. This is what John said when he saw him. John was his cousin. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world. I hear the Bible said it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sins. But Jesus, when he had offered up himself, he took the blood, went up into the Holy of Holies and poured that precious blood. Glory, hallelujah. That untainted blood, that life-giving blood, that powerful blood, that soul-cleansing blood, he offered it in heaven on the mercy seat of God. And with his stripes, we are healed. I'm claiming my healing from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I'm claiming according to God's word, I'm claiming healing for everybody in the house. In the name of Jesus, from the inside out. Listen, the most important thing that we need to be healed is our souls. Glory, hallelujah, because this flesh and this blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of God, but I'm standing on God's word that said, with his stripes, we are healed. So I claim healing for everybody over here. I'm talking about spiritual healing. I'm claiming healing. Wait a minute. Not only the most important, can I get two or three of them? Yes. I want spiritual healing as well as physical healing and emotional healing. Can I add another one? Yes, yes, yes. I want psychological healing. I want economic healing for all of God's children, because if we, watch this, if we really get healed in our economics, we won't be greedy. Mm-hmm. Glory, glory. With his stripes, we are healed. We got to claim what rightly belongs to us. We got to claim the spiritual food that God has given to us. And that spiritual food, it does more than Wonder Bread. Glory, hallelujah. The spiritual food of God's word does more than Wheaties or Cheerios. Glory, hallelujah. That's the real breakfast of champions. If you ask me, it's the spiritual food. It's the very word of God. I heard God say in his word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How many people in here want to live? get the word. Do like Jeremiah. Eat the whole roll. It might glory. It might be bitter on the inside. Oh, but when it gets down to your soul in the storm of life, that word of God will anchor you so you won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, because you'll be nourishing yourself. Listen, glory to God. Who got a Bible in here? Hold it up if you got a Bible. If you got a Bible, let me tell you what you got. You got an all-you-can-eat buffet. Glory. You can feed yourself anytime you get ready. Glory. Hallelujah. If we have a Bible and if we're spiritually weak, it's our own fault. Feed yourself on the very word of God, because God's word is true. You hear what I said? God's word is true. Forget what they're telling you in the world. Forget what your friends telling you. Listen, I hear the Bible said heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will abide forever. So if you want to hold on to something, you want to put your flagpole on something that will stand forever, mount your flag, stand your ground on the very word of God. And God's word has come to remind us that he was broken for you. Yes, he was. He was broken for you. And God has said in his word, he said, a broken and a contrite spirit he will not despise. So listen, all we have to do is connect with the brokenness of Jesus Christ. I hear God say, humble yourself. Glory to God. I think that's where I started. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Oh, break yourself. Glory. Hallelujah. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God knows when it's time for you to be exalted. He can't exalt you right now because there's too much you in the way. I feel like shouting on that right now. Glory. Hallelujah. Use God's problem. God ain't the problem. You're the problem. All right. Let me be selfish. God's not the problem. I'm the problem. Put your hand on yourself if you believe this and say, God ain't the problem. I'm the problem. Tell yourself, break yourself. Break yourself away from them bad habits. Glory to God. I know I got to go. I know I ain't supposed to preach long when we got communion, but this thing is in me. Break yourself from them bad relationships. Glory. Hallelujah. Break yourself from that evil environment. Ooh, glory. Break yourself from that pride that's killing you. Break yourself from covetousness. Lord, have mercy. God, you got to help us. He will. If we allow him to help, he's willing to help. And see, that brokenness, that humbleness is related, is in the same family of repentance. They go together. Like sneakers and shoestrings. You know, if you expect to do something with them sneakers, is that what they call them, sneakers? Tennis shoes? Or what? We call them sneakers in Brooklyn. But y'all know, Chuck Taylors, Converses, Pro Kids, Nikes, whatever. You can't really do nothing if you ain't got no strings in them. You got to lace them up. Huh? Lace them up. So God's saying, okay, lace them up. Don't be satisfied with flip-flops. Yeah. You can't get nowhere with spiritual flip-flops on. How you gonna fight a spiritual battle with some flip-flops on? You sitting out on the porch with flip-flops and wars going on in your neighborhood, and here you are, well, the Lord knows. No, lace up your shoes. Huh? Lace up your shoes. Tie them up. Double time if you have to. Anybody know how to double tie? Oh, see, y'all don't know nothing about that, huh? Who knows how to double tie? I double tie them shoes if you expect to fight, huh? And then walk it out, huh? Walk it out. Walk it out. We ain't going to take no territory sitting down. Waiting for the Lord to come back. Yeah, he coming back, but what you doing? He said, occupy till I come. So that means we got to occupy. Never mind occupy Democrats. What about occupy kingdom of God? Oh, y'all don't want to hear that, huh? We could turn this whole city upside down if we get broken, break ourselves out of our comfort zones. Oh, Lord, what time they give that food away? Uh-oh. What time they give that food away? Oh, that's too early for me to get up on. Too early for you to get up on a Saturday, huh, to serve some people that are hungry? Break yourself. Tell your neighbor. This is a tell your neighbor moment. Say, break yourself. Well, I ain't coming to Bible class. Why? Why? Well, I was just there on Sunday, and then wait a minute. I got to do this on Wednesday, and I tell your neighbor, break yourself and get the Bible class. Oh, ain't nobody said nothing. All right, I'm gonna stand here till you do it, cause I'm here every Tuesday. Say, break yourself. Don't have me come sit next to you. You better open up your mouth. You can cover yourself at this time. Say, break yourself and come to Bible class. Put your, I'm going to look this way. Put your hand on yourself and say that. Go ahead, real quick. And come to Bible class. Say, Air Tuesday. Amen. What would we do if Jesus wasn't broken for us? Where would we be if he wasn't broken for us? And you mean to tell me you can't break away from your schedule? Nah, that's not in my notes. You can't break away from your schedule to give God an hour to an hour and a half on a Tuesday night? But you have the audacity to lay your head down and expect God to protect you as you're sleeping on Tuesday night. And you expect him to get up with health and strength on Wednesday morning. I'm pastoring now. Everybody ain't working on Tuesday. But if you had a concert, if you had a social event, if your baby Nene and them and little mama and man and them had football, cheer, poet recital, lacrosse, bowling, PTA, whatever they, you get there. You would call the school. If they and don't let them be on the traveling team, you call the school and send a note saying, I got to go pick up so-and-so early today. Because he got to go play. She got to go play. But then you won't spend time to come and pray. All right, let me get back to communion so y'all can come back next week. Okay, good, good, good. That's what I was looking for. That's what I was looking for. Okay. All right. Make sure we got that on tape because I want to see who's going to be here on Tuesday. Y'all laughing. Y'all laughing. And carrying on, but let's not abuse the mercy of God. Yeah, you send me a text, I ain't gonna make it. And God has given me a measure of grace where I send a text back, okay. But sometimes I want to text back, why not? I gotta make it. How come you can't make it? But you all who text me, you all know I haven't sent that text back, have I? Let me look this way. But, in all seriousness, Jesus was broken for us so that we might live victoriously, so we might do the kingdom work of God, not petty excuses. So break yourself from them petty excuses. I think we need to do altar call, pray, ask for forgiveness, see if somebody want to get baptized, and then
we can get some spiritual food so we can get spiritual strength. I didn't intend for this to go like this, but God knows what he's doing. And I don't question him on that, because this is God's business and all of us are God's people. That's what the critical piece is. You all don't belong to me. We are all God's people. And I am very careful and critical on how I serve among you, because when it's all said and done, I want God to say to me personally, I want him to say, well done. So I don't take you all for granted. I don't take your souls for granted. I want you to hear me. It's my aim to help you. It's my aim to encourage you. It's my aim to be an example unto you with all my imperfections, and I have some. But it's my aim to please God and to lead, as long as God allows me to lead in humility and brokenness, following Christ. Because I think the scriptures talks about, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a servant. So if my great God and Savior and soon coming King, Jesus, can humble himself and take upon him the form of a servant, surely we can do that. Surely we can do that. So we can allow ourselves to be broken. We can expect certain areas of brokenness. And this is a great stress reliever and a great blessing. We don't have to retaliate when we are mistreated. Glory. That takes the pressure off. Woo! But let's just be honest. All of us are not there yet. Because sometimes we retaliate. See, if y'all would have came to VBS, y'all would have known what I'm talking about, because I shared a mirror on myself. But I told the ones, don't tell them, they missed it. I shared an area where I didn't do what God wanted me to do. What was that? You missed it. See you at VBS next year. But we don't have to retaliate. And God is still teaching us that, right? We don't have to. God is our defense. God is our rock. Our life is hid in him. So since our life is hid in him, anybody that gets to us got to really go through him anyway. Anybody wants to be broken today? You want to break yourself? There's some stuff that you need to break off. You need some, there's an area in your life. There's a stronghold in your life, or an area in your life that you like to hold on to, because some things we like to hold on to. Let's just be honest. We like to hold on to it because it makes us feel good. It makes us put a false value on this part of my personality. Mm. You know, with nobody else going to recognize me, I'm going to recognize this. You need to be broken. If Jesus can allow himself to be broken for us, surely you can break yourself. And just let me tell us, we have the Spirit of God. We are well able to receive this word and let this word filter through our hearts and acknowledge our shortcoming. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's all of us. But yet we sit there like, everything's cool. Everything's fine. That ain't me. That's my neighbor. I'm okay. I don't need to humble myself. They need to get their self together. I'm not the problem. If everywhere you go, there's conflict. If you go to several different surroundings and situations and there's trouble and there's turmoil, guess what? It's you.